I remember learning in my high school chorus class about resonance. On a piano, if it's tuned properly, you can hit the middle C, and all the other C strings will begin to vibrate. Last year, I found a reel-to-reel tape of me and my sister as little girls singing songs by Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn. When I hear my little voice on this tape, I expect my adult vocal cords to start humming and rumbling. I expect my voice to recognize itself in another octave. We were playing dress-up, singing songs about love and loss and birth control. Our voices teetered like little girls in their mama's high heels. Everyone remembers the tabloid photos of JonBenet Ramsey dressed up for beauty pageants. There was something disturbing about those photos, something apart from the aura of her violent death. JonBenet took the child's game of dress-up to the extreme. Yet she didn't look any more like a woman than a drag queen does. If anything, JonBenet's sparkling evening gowns, garish makeup, and confident strut rendered adult sexuality laughable and absurd. Children learn through imitation, but mimicry is only a heartbeat away from mockery. JonBenet's routine is a play of masking and unmasking. By borrowing the mantle of adult sexuality, she leaves it trembling and naked. My sister and I were mocking more than grown-upness, though, for the truly curious thing is how these two girls from northern Minnesota managed to pick up such strong southern accents. A few years after this recording was made, we moved to South Carolina. Freed from the vinyl country records, these southern voices leapt out from the flesh of our classmates, our neighbors, cashiers at the Piggly Wiggly. Our favorite voices were those of the women our uncle met in honky-tonk bars. We'd imitate their accents, mercilessly dragging out their Carolina drawls, reveling in the cruelty of innocence. But we weren't just faking southern accents. By letting their voices move through our own vocal cords, we were also channeling all this longing and rage that we wouldn't understand for years to come. This was another game of dress-up, one that taught us how to mock other women, especially those who refused to modulate the pitch of their desire. There are plenty of lessons in these country songs, lessons about resilience and desire and staking a claim to what's yours, whether that's your man, your uterus, or just your own quivering experience. As girls, we would have been crushed if we'd known that in the real world, we'd probably never look someone in the eye, bare our sharp white teeth, and growl, "You ain't woman enough to take my man." We had no idea that relationships were more likely to disintegrate quietly, long after you'd stopped paying attention. In fact, this might be what Loretta only wished she'd said. But even singing those words in a song is brave enough. Women who have the courage to act out become the repository for everyone else's fears. We go to them for the real dirt. In their straight talk sermons, we seek proof that we are already saved. Saved, that is, from being so shrill, crass, and demanding. So obvious. It was the same chorus teacher who taught me about resonance, who also kept some girls from ascending the ranks of the high school choral program. These girls were tainted by their sexual appetites, their untamable attitudes, or sometimes just the darkness of their skin. She said the reason she held them down was that their voices needed to be disciplined. It was as if she were afraid that if the school slut got a solo, her voice would ring out like a siren and sneak into all of us, until the body of the chorus quaked with some demonic chord of teenage lust. I want to hate her for all her caution, but the truth is, she probably knew too well that once your bones learned how to hum that way, they'd never stop. Kids know that there's more to sex than the mechanics and morality their parents teach them. They know that you also need to learn how to speak and move as a sexual being. As girls, we grabbed onto whatever scraps of evidence we could find as we wrestled about to get the real story about sex, love, how to act like a woman, and how you pay for it all along the way. These songs aren't nice. They aren't safe. They're love songs after all. And if I feel some rumbling in my chest when I hear them, maybe it's because my adult voice wants to sing a few bars in that unruly key.
I fall to pieces, tumbling to the flame.
Woman Enough was written and produced by Cheyenne Nescoda at Documentary Works in the Department of Communication at the University of South Florida. Additional support was provided by the USF Community Initiative Grant Program.